It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now to this question, which are the most heart-healthy diets? The American Heart Association scores 10 popular diets on a scale from 1 to 100 and how they promote heart health. Call in about diets, ask a question, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Maya Vadivelu is an associate professor of nutrition and food sciences at University of Rhode Island, leading the Big Data and Eating Decisions Lab. Maya, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So 10 popular diets scrutinized. Why does the American Heart Association want these diets evaluated?
Well, that's a great question. So last year, the American Heart Association put out some updated guidance on what food groups really represent from evidence the heart healthiest patterns. And, you know, while we tried to keep it as 10 relatively simple principles to adopt, a lot of questions come up from clinicians, from patients, from clients, and just from the general public about, well, that sounds great, but I heard this. And this is what I follow. Does that align?
But what about?
Exactly. So we ended up looking at what are the most popular patterns that people are following? How are they really defined? So how are they intended to be followed? And then do they align with that guidance so that people can kind of translate it more to their everyday lives?
Do you think there is a concern from the association and registered dietitians that Americans might not fully understand the health risks with the diets they take up?
I mean, I think absolutely. There's always this idea that there's a magic bullet to health. And, you know, the broken record version that we keep saying of eat more fruits and vegetables, eat more whole grains, eat more heart-healthy oils, beans, nuts, seeds, all of that gets drowned out sometimes in a sea of there's this new diet that's going to help you live another 15 years. And so I think that the American Heart Association, which really is viewed as a very credible source, wanted to have as much evidence out there as possible, communicated as clearly as possible to help really the whole public translate nutrition guidance into simple terms that resonate with their everyday lives.
So among the diets, swimming in the diet sea, I mean, you found paleo, ketogenic, and very low-calorie diets are unhealthy for hearts. What is problematic about these diets that we hear a lot about?
Yeah, also a really good question. And I think it's really two to threefold, really. So some of the major concerns about some of these patterns are that it encourages the avoidance of many of the food groups that are featured in that guidance that I mentioned in 2021 about what food groups are the, you know, most heart health promoting. So when you're avoiding whole grains and you're avoiding legumes and you're avoiding heart healthy liquid oils and often dairy, you're missing out on opportunities to introduce a lot of nutrients that are associated with health. And then additionally, you know, we all need to eat a certain number of calories each day to have enough energy. So what you tend to replace that with are higher fat meats, which are high in saturated fat that are not great for your heart, and other animal products. And then, you know, my personal bias as a registered dietitian and, you know, behavioral scientist too, is that sometimes when we try to follow very, very restrictive patterns for anything longer than 6 months, it's very difficult to adhere to that. And you start craving other foods. And so it makes it difficult to stay on something like that for the rest of your life. And really, the American Heart Association isn't asking people to try this new diet for the next 30 days. It's trying to say, this is how we want the public to live a healthy life.
This is how you eat for a lifetime. Yes. So the study notes some evidence showing keto and paleo diets improve heart health after 6 months, but the benefits disappear after a year. What might be happening there?
Well, I think, you know, we only really evaluated things for sort of for the general public rather than maybe specific disease states where there may be some benefit. But I think, again, when you restrict total calories, and we know that we have, you know, a problem in the U.S. with obesity, you might have some beneficial effects like improved cholesterol, maybe some weight loss. But then if you don't adhere to that over the longer term and you increase maybe some of the foods that you've been restricting and then you overconsume them, you could have weight regain, loss of energy, a lot of different things that could be happening.
So in terms of like paleo, if our Stone Age ancestors did it, you know, then why shouldn't we? I mean, I've heard that before. What are the specific concerns about meat-based diets alongside our heart?
Well, I always think that that's a very funny baseline comparison. You know, our life expectancy has increased a lot since our Stone Age ancestors. And I'm not really sure that we want to go back to something that may not be as optimal for health. So, I mean, that's just kind of the first piece. But, you know, I think there's just consistent evidence that plant-based protein sources, and it's not to say that you can't have some meat, especially lean meats, but having a higher proportion of things like nuts, seeds, and legumes have beneficial compounds in them that help with lowering blood cholesterol, that may help with regulating blood pressure and reducing inflammation in the body, all of which are heart disease risk factors. Whereas high intake of particularly high fat animal proteins that are high in the types of fats, like saturated fat, that increases atherosclerosis or the hardening of arteries. It increases inflammation in the body. So all of those are heart disease risk factors. And that's not even just, you know, going apart from the idea that it's not really always a sustainable pattern either. So from the perspective of improving heart health, from the perspective of sustainability, shifting our proportion of protein to these plant-sourced foods can be a, you know, double win.
Registered dietitian and nutritional epidemiologist Maya Vadivelu explaining the American Heart Association's recent ratings of popular diets. Call in with a question or a comment along the way, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The American Heart Association rates how closely some popular diets align with their guidance for heart-healthy eating. Be part of our conversation about diets like keto and paleo, DASH, other diets you've encountered. Call in with a question, your experiences with diets at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Maya Vadivelu, who is an associate professor of nutrition and food sciences at the University of Rhode Island and vice chair of this American Heart Association statement. Maya, for decades, nutritionists have warned that fat should be avoided. And then, you know, some researchers said, wait a minute, let's challenge that. There's advice out there, that advocates people should eat more saturated fats. Which fats are healthy? Which ones should people avoid?
So you're absolutely right that, you know, we had a movement on low-fat dietary patterns. And while it may have always been intended that when you were reducing total fat, you were increasing things like whole grains and fruits and vegetables and things of that nature, which is kind of how we put the pattern in low-fat patterns that ended up in tier two of this statement. A lot of people ended up switching all fats for more refined grains, which really had the effect of increasing triglycerides and increasing cholesterol. And so what we really want to focus on is that unsaturated fats, which are rich in oils, especially non-tropical oils, so canola oil, olive oil, vegetable oils, and reducing intake of solid fats found in meat and in dairy products can really help with promoting better cholesterol and better triglyceride profiles, which are related to, again, the onset of heart disease.
And when you say, there's been more movement toward more refined grains, what are some of the big culprits there?
I mean, like which foods have?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we see it in a lot of just foods with added sugar too. So whether it's, when low fat movement came about, some of those things like the cookies that were fat free but high in a lot of sugar. Honestly, sugar is found in so many different things, it's almost hard to keep track, whether you look at breakfast cereals, in some cases, a lot of different breads. It's an added ingredient. It's really infiltrated a lot of the food supply. So it's something that people need to be careful when they're looking at nutrition labels to see how much added sugar is in something. But, white bread, really white rice, a lot of the things that can be sort of staples in our diet, white flour tortillas, are the things that people ended up switching to because they're low in fat but high in not necessarily the healthiest source of carbohydrates.
Question coming in here from Jojo in Appleton wants to know, Jojo has a nut allergy and is curious what they could use as a substitute.
As a substitute for nuts, well, without knowing more about the specific nut allergy, because there can be a difference between peanuts and tree nuts, being very careful about which types of nuts and to avoid. Often, sometimes people who are allergic to nuts are not allergic to seeds, and so you can have sunflower seeds, and sun butter has been, really popular in schools where there are high levels of peanut allergies, and people will substitute sun butter. And, all of these patterns can be things where if you have a particular food allergy or other restriction or even just taste preference where you can really adapt the guidance around that. So if, nuts don't agree with you or you're allergic to them, choosing more beans, choosing fish and seafood some of the time, those can be ways of really working around everybody's different preferences, restrictions, and needs.
Let's turn to carbs. In recent years, carbs have been really singled out as the dietary evil monster. Are people now unfairly demonizing carbs the way they once shunned fats?
I absolutely think people are unfairly demonizing carbohydrates. One of the fundamentals that you learn as a first year nutrition student is that the brain prefers carbohydrate. And it's not to say that all carbohydrates are created equal. Carbohydrates are found in fruits, they're found in vegetables, albeit at slightly lower levels in the non-starchy vegetables. They're found in whole grains, they're found in dairy products. And really, if you look at that, that's the majority of food groups where you're finding carbohydrate because our bodies are designed to use those to fuel our brain, to fuel our working muscles. They're also the sources that I mentioned, excluding dairy, the whole grains, the beans, the fruits and vegetables. Those also come with a lot of fiber, which have a ton of benefits for reducing total cholesterol. They have benefits toward cancer prevention. It's just really they also have benefits to satiety. So people feel fuller on less food, which makes it easier to regulate your body weight.
We're looking at a new study from the American Heart Association rating popular diets for heart health, and Maya Vaidivelu is one of the study's authors and associate professor of nutrition at the University of Rhode Island. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your question. Barbara wrote in to ask, are high protein drinks like Ensure and Premier Protein, are they healthy to use as occasional meal replacements or supplementation?
So I think for some of these, meal replacement options, there's a question of instead of what. So, if you're out and about and your choice is that or having a milkshake, that's probably a better choice. But, sometimes, and after, this comes up often with athletes where they're looking for a snack after a workout. And, honestly, a glass of milk and a banana really does meet your protein needs. And often people don't need quite as much protein as they think. And so with something like Ensure, though, if there's a real need for it from if you're an older adult and it's difficult to get enough calories, I think that's something that's useful to speak about with your doctor.
Of the diets you evaluated, which ones are healthiest for hearts?
So As intended, there are a lot of different patterns, and I think that was one of the more surprising things that are heart healthy. So, like I said before, the DASH style pattern, which has rich in fruits and vegetables and low fat dairy, the Mediterranean pattern, which many of us are familiar with, a lot of the vegetarian patterns, especially the ones that are a little bit more liberal. So, like the pescatarian kind of pattern that includes fish or an ovo-lacto or ovo vegetarian where you are including dairy and or egg. All of those seem to have different versions that again were really rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, low fat dairy, nuts and seeds, heart healthy oils. And so there were a lot of different ways that you could adopt that pattern to reflect your needs and that would align with heart health.
We only have less than a second or less than a minute left, but what questions about nutrition are you hoping that dietitians like yourself, other researchers, can soon answer?
That's a really, really good question. I think what I'd like to know the most is how we can best support the public, whether it's through environmental changes, through delivering messages that really resonate with different communities, to move the needle, to make these patterns the thing that everybody thinks about when they think about heart health, rather than the introduction of new, amazing diets that are suddenly going to change the world. If that did exist, then number one, I'd be out of a job, but I'd also be very comfortably retired.
Maya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Maya Vadivelu is an associate professor of nutrition and food sciences at the University of Rhode Island, where she leads the Big Data and Eating Decisions Lab, was vice chair of this recent statement from the American Heart Association rating popular diets. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.